it was a communist because he had told them, and the president knew Fidel Castro was a communist. And but you see, that's totally different than anything the average person has ever been allowed to hear from the controlled media. And of course, that's all covered in our DVD, The World Revolution, where we actually have my interview with Ambassador Smith. So anything else, Pureheart?
Compelling stuff. No, thank you, Doctor. That's all.
It's always good to hear from you. Bye-bye.
Good evening. Bye.
Bye-bye. And let's go to Lynn, who's calling from Centerville, Illinois. Incidentally, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Lynn. How are you doing?
Hi. Nice to be here. Nice to meet you over the phone.
Oh, now tell me, how are you listening to us? Are you listening to us on the Internet or on shortwave?
Internet.
Okay, very good. Signal good?
Yes, it's wonderful.
All right, fine. Well, I'm glad you can listen to our programs 9 hours a day on your Internet, but don't do that because you won't get anything accomplished. Anyways, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, your program is wonderful. Can't thank you enough for your information. And I'm kind of looking at the New World Agenda, and I was afraid to call, but the good Lord told me to call you. But I wanted to know if you know anything about the concentration camp that they say that they have ready to go, and also some information on what they call the underground cities for the elite to live in, and a lot of the chaos goes down. Or, you know, any information about that?
Oh, yes, a great deal of information. There's no question that they converted a lot of the old military camps, and they simply changed barbed wire on them. They changed the barbed wire. Instead of trying to keep people out of the camps, they changed it around for keeping people in the camps. And these camps are available all across the country. Not only that, but they have rejuvenated the Japanese concentration camps that were used to hold the Japanese prisoners back during the Second World War. And I think they appropriated some $83 million to do that, saying, oh, well, we want to have these as a national monument, a constant reminder how terrible it was to have kept American citizens in concentration camps. But if that is really the reason that we rejuvenated those, why then did the government appropriate $385 million to actually give it to Kellogg, Brown, and Root to build new concentration camps here in the United States in case of a national emergency? Now, this is all covered in my syllabus called the planned police state. We have all the documentation on that. We have the clippings out of the paper. We'll send to anyone who calls in and wants to see it. Back in, it was in 2006, they appropriated the $385 million. We have a very good video put together by our friend Dave Wagner, Bob Wire Over America. We have, of course, my talk. We have a 4-tape set on concentration camps. And we even have, of course, the official government document on the use of civilian labor in military camps. So there's no question they're planning concentration camps. And if you get my planned police state DVD, you'll actually see the clips. They were actually shot during the Iran-Contra hearings, where Congressman Jack Brooks is trying to address Oliver North, because Oliver North, of course, we most conservative thinks he's a great conservative hero. He's actually part of the establishment, and he was actually, during the Reagan administration, had worked on a plan in case of a national emergency to suspend the Constitution and habeas corpus and round up Americans and put them into concentration camps. And Congressman Brooks is trying to bring this out at the Iran-Contra hearings and is constantly being interrupted by Senator Inouye, who doesn't want this information out for the general public. But then, of course, there's a clip there from Henry Gonzalez, Congressman Henry Gonzalez, who is for many years the chairman of the House Banking Committee, saying, and the only person who really got close to the truth at the Iran-Contra hearings was Congressman Jack Brooks, because there really is a plan in case of a national emergency to suspend the Constitution and, of course, to round up Americans and put them into concentration camps. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, when the time comes, that's what they're going to do. And you better be prepared for it. You may very well be hunted down. They say it couldn't happen in America. And I would say, why not? If God is just, he's going to bring judgment on this nation. Now, is there anything else you want to talk about, Lynn?
Yeah.
Hold on. Just one moment. We'll take you on into the break. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464 8295. Okay, Lynn, go right ahead.
Yeah, I was reading that they're going to have concentration camps where they divide people up into a red group and a green group, and then if you get in the green group, if some kind of chaos or disaster happens in this country, there's underground cities being built, like one, there's one in Atlanta and one in Denver, and that's where all the high-top government officials will go.
Well, I do know that there is certainly one. They have them outside of Washington, D.C. I've heard the stories about Denver. I don't know that to be the case, but I wouldn't be at all surprised. There is a gentleman who's written about underground tunnels, and he is actually a Ph.D. right now at the present time. He's making a living as a window washer in Texas, living for fear in his life. But we do have those books. One of these days we should talk about them. We do know that Chris is an underground shelter up in Santa Rosa. Our friend Harry Martin, who publishes the newspaper there, and I believe either in Santa Rosa or I guess in Sonoma, and he's actually seen this underground shelter. They have this for the elite on the West Coast. Yes, Lynn, they know there are going to be some very real problems, and they're prepared to look after the elite, and we are going to have to look after ourselves and after one another.
So is it true also that these air trails, that the jets in the sky are leaving these trails behind them? Are those actually pollutants and poisons? I've read on that too.
Well, we really don't know. We do know that, of course, the chemtrails is what you're talking about.
Yeah,
the chemtrails are made up of aluminum and barium predominantly, and some places titanium. And people say, why titanium? And I say, I don't know why titanium. We have an excellent, I think we actually have 2 4-tape sets on chemtrails, but probably the latest one would be the best one to get. And we simply go into the back, and there are a number of excellent websites on this. There are a number of government studies saying that the reason that they have these chemtrails is they're trying to actually build a reflective shield to control global warming. Is that what it's about? I don't know. The official government position to the military is, well, we're actually providing a vaccine. We're using the chemtrails and chemtrail spraying, so we have a vaccine that can protect the American people from diseases. I really don't think that's the reason. I think that's a cover story. All I know is that this is very real. And whether this has to do with weather control, whether this has to do with trying to mitigate global warming, or actually to accentuate global warming, because actually, if you have a canopy in the sky, then the radiant heat can't get back into the stratosphere. One of these days, maybe somebody will come forward and tell us the real truth, but right now, it's all classified, it's all top secret, because we don't want Osama bin Laden to know what the government is doing here. Anything else?
Oh, no, I just heard that the chemtrails were setting up for their blue beam project where they can, you know, set, I guess, holographic images up in the sky.
Well, I think they probably have the ability to do that, but certainly nobody's going to come forward from the government. If they did, well, they'd lose their job. They'd be might very well be put into prison. We've got an awful lot of people sitting in federal prisons today who are government employees to try to get the truth out and have been arrested and put there to silence them. I know of one former leader of the conservative movement who was arrested twice and told if he ever again came forward and talked about what he knew about the occult influence within the conservative movement in America, he would never get out of prison. And to this very day, why, he will not talk to anybody at all. I've tried to reach him, and I know his story. I've heard his tapes, but he will not talk to anybody. He lives in constant fear they're going to come back and get him and send him to prison forever. Anything else, Lynn?
That's sad. How soon do you all think this is going to happen?
Hold your line. We'll be back in just a moment here with Lynn from Centerville, Illinois. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. This is Open Line Wednesday, and we've got Lynn from Centerville, Illinois. She was asking me about a concentration camps, and I told her we had a great deal of information on it in our talk on the planned police state, and you'll actually see some footage from the Iran-Contra hearings in that DVD. And then we have a four-tape set on concentration camps. We even have a concentration camp special where you get a lot of DVDs and you get the four-tape set and you get some government documents. There's no question that they know they are planning on having concentration camps in America. Then Lynn asked me, when is it going to happen? And I really don't know. I mean, I can remember back in 1963, we were sure that if Barry Goldwater didn't win, it was going to be the end of America. Barry Goldwater didn't win. In those days, we heard about the Chinese communist troops that were down in Mexico waiting to invade America, and it was all hype that were trying to scare us to death. Well, I believe that these problems we've talked about are really very, very real, but I have no idea when it's going to come down. It could be a matter of months. It could be a matter of years. It could be a matter of decades. Let's pray that the Lord will give us more time, because I do believe people out of America, across America, are beginning to be willing to listen because they know something's wrong, and they're looking for people who have the answers. Anything else, Lynn?
I appreciate your time. I just pray that the gas prices stay down and the dollar. I know I've heard rumors that the dollar is supposed to crash, and they want that new North American Union, and it's a big concern if all that happens.
We're in real trouble. Well, just hope and pray that it lasts as long as it can. But I believe they intend to destroy the dollar because they want to take us into either the North American currency or into a global currency. And an impoverished people will look to the government to solve their problems. Hey, look, thanks very much, Lynn. Just keep listening and get the rest of the people there in Centerville listening as well, will you?
Okay, great. Appreciate your time this evening. Thanks again.
You too. Bye-bye. God bless. And
God bless you. Keep praying.
Right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Roger, who's calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. And our telephone number, out across America, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Stan. Hey, if you could maybe look into turning up the levels a bit for the people listening, waiting to get on hold. They're pretty rough. I just called, if you'd like, following that earlier call, I just called to obliviate a bit on the arrival of digital television. As an electronics technician, professional almost, well, I guess you can't call it a profession, but I did serve 6 years in the Navy as a satellite communications technician. And I hadn't heard anything about going two-way. And bear in mind, with this new digital television, you can still get it off a rooftop antenna, in which case there's only a one-way mechanism there for the most usual circumstance, unlike cable, where you could conceivably have a two-way exchange going on. You could also have tie-ins with the internet so that you'd only be going one way in through the cable, and then you might be going out through a complementary landline. Now, we did hear, for example, that there was a few models of cable boxes that in fact had microphones and video cameras installed. I do believe that, although I had not heard any verification on that, and that would be very few customers that would have been subjected to that, I expect. Now, we did hear as well that Google, some time back, it came out that their Google Desktop, you know, you could download that for free and get all those wonderful features. Well, it turns out that they were unsuspectedly turning on the microphones of their customers' computers so they could record the room sounds and thereby tailor the advertising to maybe the background drone of the television, etc. Isn't that wonderful, Dr. Smith?
Well, Roger, and I've heard rumors about this. Maybe you could look into this, that there actually are, in some of the more modern television sets, a microphone where they can actually hear what you say. Is there any truth to that or not?
Well, it's not technically infeasible. It's still just not likely. Now, there is, there's other probably not as ominous aspects. Now, bear in mind, people think they're getting high-def television when they're getting digital, and that may, in fact, be true. However, it's entirely possible and permitted that they can be broadcasting basically low-def television, even possibly lower than the old analog standard. They can pack 8 television channels worth of data, or the lower def, still digital, into a single high-def signal. So there's an advantage to going low def, still digital, and now I think we get sufficient quality of the brainwashing at low definition that we don't need to have that enhanced by high def.
Okay, hang on there, Roger. We'll be back in just a moment here, and give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Okay.
Yes, yeah, so at the same bandwidth.
Okay, Roger, go ahead.
Yeah, so at the same bandwidth of a high def signal, you can actually pack eight lower def channels, or they might just have one or two channels of video and other portions of the bandwidth generated to other services. So that may generate more revenue for the station than if they put out a single high def signal. But now they're basically chopping off all the channels above channel 51 and reorganizing all the channels that used to be higher than that into lower channels that are often unused within a local market.
Okay, well, I appreciate you letting us know. Anything you'd like to say before we let you go?
So the digital TV is not likely that they'd be incorporating any listening or monitoring devices into that, but they have had, like I said, a few instances of that that I do believe have occurred for a select few individuals. And in fact, Ted Gunderson claims that he thinks that they monitored his activity through such a similar means on his cable box, and that's how they somehow managed to swipe a video out of his living quarters, hearing that about it.
Of course, I think they actually can listen to your telephone conversations. Even your telephone is hung up. We've heard certainly stories about this. They have this capacity. They have all sorts of capacity to track the American people. And this is what's so difficult for people to understand. People say this could not be true. Well, I would simply challenge the listeners to go up on the Internet and Google in Echelon, E-C-H-E-L-O-N. E-C-H-E-L-O-N, Project Echelon. And, of course, they've got a lot of disinformation up there, but you'll find a certain amount of information on this program of the National Security Administration, the NSA, by which, since the end of the Second World War, they have been monitoring almost every telephone call in the United States, and more recently, every telephone call in the entire world by computer, and the computers are listening to and recording those conversations, and now, of course, they read your emails, they read your faxes. They want to collect dossiers on everybody in the country, find out who is potentially an enemy, and they've been doing this for a long time, long before the September 11th attack. And the average individual says that cannot be true. It's against the law. But you have to understand that these people are above the law. The National Security Agency, this most secret agency in the United States, monitors literally every telephone call in every country in the world today. Check it out on the Internet. Find out if we're telling you the truth. And if we are, then understand, ladies and gentlemen, you've been lied to. And hold on. We'll be back in just a moment with Roger from Allentown. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is Open Line Wednesday. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a telephone question, a comment you'd like to make, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Roger was just, of course, talking about this idea that with this new high-definition television we're going to get, and some people are wondering about these boxes, is there any way that they could listen to us? Roger doesn't think that there is, and he may very well be right. I mean, I've always been suspicious that they have some other purpose in mind, but heaven only knows what they're really up to. But we do know that, for instance, through Project Echelon, that's E-C-H-E-L-O-N, and you can Google this information in and just look up Project Echelon. The National Security Agency has been listening to your conversations on the telephone for decades, long before September 11th, and has been reading your emails and your faxes ever since they became available electronically. It's all done with computers, and then if there's any question about what you're talking about, it'll be gone over by a specialist. They probably have 40 to 50,000 people working at the NSA in Washington, D.C. They have a larger budget than the CIA. Everybody talks about the CIA. They never talk about Project Echelon, about the Project Echelon or the National Security Agency, the largest security agency in our country, and many people, even in Congress, don't know anything about it. Well, our number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY-464-8295. And Roger, do you have a parting thought for us?
Yeah, just lastly to cap on this, there's nothing in the high def, or the digital rather, television technology that inheres to enhance the Orwellian surveillance prospects, but it may, and you would have a relatively few instances of people that would, it may be possible somewhat to piggyback on that. But I don't think there's anything, because anything that they could do that would enhance that prospect, they could have done with the older technology anyway.
Okay, God bless.
God bless you.
Thanks very much. That was Roger calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. We've got Bill Paul calling from Pasco, Washington. Our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Bill. How are you doing tonight?
How you doing yourself?
Doing just fine.
Well, I've got a little comment here. You guys have said several times that there's no monitoring things built into the new sets, but I have to differ on that.
Yeah, well, I'd like to know what you have. Are you in electronics? Tell me what your thoughts are.
Well, down in Oregon, not too long ago, I guess it was within a year or two, somebody bought a new flat screen TV. And rescue services come up to their door, knocked on their door, and said, your TV is broadcasting on a frequency that to call for help. And it was the same frequency that life rafts in airplanes and boats use.
Well, that's just strange. Were they able to pick up conversations, or was it just putting out?
They didn't say. All they said was, you're going to have to send your TV back, get a new TV or something. You're going to have to stop your broadcasting on our frequencies.
I've never heard that, but I wouldn't be. Nothing would surprise me, Bill, because basically they're using the electronics for surveillance of the individual. And if you've ever read 1984, George Orwell's story, which really anticipated everything that's going on, I've always felt it was probably channeled to him when he was extremely ill, living on an island off, I believe it was off of Scotland or Ireland. And I mean, basically, of course, he talked about how we would be monitored 24 hours a day in our living room, in our kitchen, even in the bathroom. They were going to be watching us, and suddenly they're working on this technology today. So perhaps you're right. Perhaps they really have something built into some of these television sets. I'd sure like to get the name and address of the people who had that experience so we could talk to them.
Well, you could probably look it up on the Internet. It was news. It was just plain old news, you know, you just see it in the paper or whatever.
So tell you what, Bill, why don't you look it up and next week call in and give us a reference to it so we can go to that article. I'd love to see it.
All righty.
All right, God. Anything else you'd like to cover?
Well, they do have vans right now that can drive up to your house, and they can tell everything that you're listening to, whatever you're doing. They also now, the police department is using a special... can't remember the name of it offhand, but it's an X-ray type machine, and it can see through the walls of your house and tell where everybody in the house is.
Absolutely right. That certainly is very accurate. They can. They do it. A lot of this they do with infrared, and they can actually determine where people are. They have amazing technology to keep track of the American people. We're told it's developed. Well, it's developed to fight communism. It's developed to fight the mafia. It's developed to fight criminals. No. The real purpose behind this, of course, is control over us. It's sort of like the satellite technology that they developed to monitor the Russians, and now it's being used, of course, to monitor us. Why are American satellites monitoring American people? Well, my goodness, they might be terrorists. And I think it's frightening. People have to... There's a wonderful movie. It was called Enemy of the State. It had Will Smith, and it came out a few years ago. I'm sure you get it at Blockbuster. But watch that DVD, and you'll find out that a lot of the technology that they have, and I'm sure they have even more technology today.
Well, there was a movie out. I'm not sure of the name of it. It was something like Triple X, something of some. Anyway, in it they had several small flying objects for, I believe, maybe fighting and monitoring or something along this line. I don't remember. But I did see an interview with somebody in special effects, and they said that the stuff that they used in that movie was an actual use now by the government.
Was this something like the Predator of planes that they have that said they fly over?
This was small stuff that was inside buildings.
I see, okay.
People, I don't remember the name of the movie. All I know is some black guy was the hero, and they had some fancy cars in it, and something about following a train.
That wasn't Enemy of the State, you're sure? It was Will Smith.
No, it wasn't. I don't even know. I'm not a movie watcher.
Will Smith is a black guy, and this was a very, very popular movie a few years ago with an awful lot of great information in it. Really very, very accurate, and of course very, very frightening, the idea that they can watch you at any time. They can track you by a number of means, and of course they can track your car. In fact, our cars, so many of them now have the GPS in it so that we can know where we're going, but they can know where we're going as well. And I'm sure that through a lot of this, they can actually listen to your conversations. We know they can listen to your conversations on your cell phones, even when they're turned off. I don't know why they couldn't listen to your conversations in a car with a GPS. Maybe somebody out there has got some more information. I would love to hear it.
The OnStar.
That's the Global Star,
can
right?
Can contact you at any time.
Right.
And they have a black box in the cars now that is similar to the black box in the airplane, and it is constantly recording. So if you cause or get into an accident, they appropriate the black box now, and they can tell you everything that you was doing at the time that the accident took place.
A little scary, isn't it? I mean, what they can do with electronics. Anything else, Bill?
That pretty much covers it.
All right. Well, thanks very much for calling. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And what you really have to understand is that they are collecting dossiers on American citizens. And, of course, they've been doing this for many years. I must be 15 years ago. I got my FBI records and page after page, 40 or 50 pages, and so many of the pages totally blacked out in the name of national security. And this was long before Osama bin Laden, but they had to have an excuse to justify, I could get my FBI file, I just couldn't know it was in it. But one of the things that really were so interesting to me was that they had records, this was back in the early 1960s, I was giving talks all over the country, and they had clippings on all of my travels and where I was and where I was speaking. Why was the FBI keeping track of me? I was a patriot. I was warning about the dangers of communism. And, of course, the thing was, of course, I did not realize at the time that there were people at the highest levels of our government, and certainly within our great foundations, that were funding communism. Why? Because we had to have an enemy. And that way they could know, I mean, who would willing to take a stand against the establishment. Our telephone number, 1-888-Liberty or 464-8295, if you have a question or comment. But of course, you can get your FBI file too. Just write to the FBI under the Freedom of Information Act, I would like to get my dossier or my FBI file, and they, by law, are required to send it to you. Understand, however, there are many other agencies that are collecting dossiers on you as well. And unfortunately, our military is being used to collect dossiers. And if you doubt that, let me suggest a book called Fixing Intelligence by Lieutenant General William Odom. And William Odom was he was the head of NSA for many years, 2 or 3 years, but he was a patriotic American, and when he left the NSA, he wrote a book called Fixing Intelligence, and the latest version of that, I think it was 2003, he cannot tell you what he was involved with, because he swore to secrecy and signed also some agreements, but he can ask questions like, should the Defense Department be collecting dossiers on American citizens? Should the CIA be assassinating people? Should the CIA have journalists planted in the media? Should the CIA have journalists planted in the media? So remember, of course, when you go pick up your newspaper or your magazine, they've got journalists planted there. They've got journalists planted in television, in radio. Of course, they're trying to influence our thought. As someone once said, in war, the first casualty is truth. Well, our telephone number is 1-888. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If there's something you'd like to talk about, you'd like to comment on, we'd love to hear from you. The thing is that there are so many things going on today that really we're entering, I believe, the most difficult and dangerous period. I certainly have people who are sending me information. Some of it's disinformation, some of it's accurate information. But certainly something bad is going to be happening over in the Near East or in the Middle East. We're going to have Alvin Lipkin on our program, I believe, next week. I hope we'll have him on a couple of times next week. Avi, of course, has been associated with the Israeli intelligence, although he says he's not in any way affiliated with them at the present time. Here's what I talked to him today about Iran. Are we going to have a war with Iran? He says it's not if we are going to have a war with Iran. It's only a matter of time we have a war with Iran. And Avi, of course, is an Israeli citizen, travels across America, talking to Christian groups, and he's been uncannily accurate through the years in what he's had to say. In fact, he's going to be speaking at the Koinonia House in very, very soon about what's going on, and certainly you can get his speeches, but you're going to be able to hear him next week. And he's been talking about the fact that Israel has an anti-ballistic missile system based upon a laser. It's actually called the Nautilus. And, of course, when those tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of missiles come raining down on Israel, they'll be able to fend them off. Nobody else is talking about it. Incidentally, we just had Jim calling from 29 Palms, California. I don't know what happened to Jim, but give us a call. My telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And hopefully we've got Jim back here. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Do you have a question or comment?
On that that signal you were talking about, it's a emergency signal from that guy's television.
Why would the television set be sending out an emergency signal?
It could have been a somebody made a mistake at the factory, but the frequency is like 406 point something. It's used for distress signals if, like, a boat's going down.
Well, why would it be in a television set? A television set is supposed to be a one-way system, not a two-way system.
Yeah, but what I think was it was an emergency positioning indicating radio beacon.
Maybe you're right.
If that's activated, it will activate all, agencies, rescue agencies, police, whatever, and there's also
Jim, but what would it be doing in a television set?
I don't know. I think the only reason I would figure there was a mistake, but you never know. But that is a standard frequency for rescue.
Okay, fine. Well, maybe Chris Bill will be able to get this information and find it on the Internet and get it for us for next week. And you might do the same thing. You could look up the story and see if you can verify it.
That, you were talking about that infrared. They use that on helicopters.
Right.
That's also used for search and rescue, but they also use it for, apprehending criminals or whatever, but
of course they can use it on innocent people as well who
are
hired
right.
by the government. And so all of these things have a dual use. It's like the satellites that we fed out billions of dollars for to spy on the Russians, who incidentally we were financing all the time and working very, very closely with them. But now, of course, they're using that on the American people because the Russians aren't the enemy anymore. So then why do we want to use them on the American people? The spy satellites, of course, that can read a newspaper from outer space.
Yes, like a double-edged sword.
Everything is a double-edged sword, but you have to understand, they stole the American people, and we have to have the most powerful military in the world to protect us from the wicked communists, or the wicked Osama bin Laden, or the wicked Ahmadinejad, or they're always creating an enemy. So that we'll rally the people behind the government. It's about time we begin to be able to think independently. Anything else, Jim, before we...
Well, there's always going to be a boogeyman, Doc.
Yeah, amen to that. And they know how to manipulate us. It's time we break loose from their control and begin to think on our own.
Yes. Well...
Anything else you'd like to say?
Just that I heard Mr. Chapman the other night. I think he's very interesting. He's a lot of wisdom there.
Okay, I'm glad you enjoy him, and we'll try to keep him on the program.
All right, thank you, Dr. Sam.
God bless. Bye-bye. And right now, let's go to John, who's calling from Yakima. Incidentally, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well.
Do you have a question or comment?
Just a comment. A suggestion. How's that?
Go right ahead.
Okay, yeah, you know, all this stuff is going on. You know, we know the conspiracy's real. You know, we're facing police state. We know we're facing all these things. Today I was thinking, you know, about all that. And then this guy came on Alex Jones' Prison Planet.
Right.
And he was interviewing Chuck Baldwin.
Yeah.
So not the actor.
The minister who's running for president.
You got him. And, you know, this is a time when we got to stand behind a Christian that believes in Christian standards and want to bring that back into our society.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with John from Yakima talking about Chuck Baldwin's presidential candidacy. All right, John, go right ahead.
Yeah, I just, you know, we can get all nailed in and focused in on all this stuff that goes on. It gets you nuts. But, you know, I still got to keep my view on, you know, why we're here. You know, why we are here. You know, we're Christians, we're Americans, and we have to keep our focus on the people that are going to stand up and represent us properly.
I agree with you totally, and I know Chuck Baldwin personally. He's a man of integrity and honor in a world of equivocal men.
Yes, he is. And that's all I want to say, Doctor.
All right, God bless you. And how are things up there in Yakima?
They got a little warm, about 95, no big deal.
Okay. but certainly the American Christian radio up there, ACN.
Wait. Oh, yeah.
They're doing a great job. In fact, you know, your area certainly had more votes, I think, for Ron Paul than probably most other areas in the country. We know, for instance, that Idaho, which, of course, ACN gets in that area, why, of course, Ron Paul got 25% of the Republican vote. Had he got, you know, been allowed Democrats to vote for him, he would have got a lot of the Democrats, because his message was for Republicans or Democrats. It's all about freedom, and that's what we need. And if people understand what the issues are, they're going to vote for the right person. Unfortunately, they're not giving Chuck Baldwin much coverage in the controlled media. I'm so glad to know that Alex had him on. We've had him on a couple of times, and we'll have him on a regular basis because he's a man of integrity, and I'm proud to call him a friend.
I hear you. And Ron Paul, you know, he still has his war room going on.
I know he does. In fact, you can get his website at Daily Paul, www.dailypaul.com.
Yep.
Hey, thanks so much, John.
Thank you.
Let's go to Mike calling from Castroville. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
You have a quick question?
How to pray for lost family.
What's that?
How to pray for lost family. Does God choose... Are the sinners chosen people, or do they have to be called, or is it okay to pray for them without knowing whether they're chosen or not?
I think it's you ought to pray for everyone, and I certainly think that there are a lot of Jews who are confused. I think there are a lot of Jews who, some of them, there's a tremendous Messianic Jewish movement today where Jews are coming to recognize that Yeshua is the Messiah. And really, of course, about half the Jews over in Israel are secular. Half of them believe in the Jewish Messiah. I think we need to pray for Israel because I think they're going to be in for very, very difficult times and very, very soon. Anything else, Mike?
Well, that sounds good.
Okay, God bless you. Thank you so very much, and talk to you later.
Prove himself again.
Bye-bye. Okay, we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, as always, it's always lots of fun. I enjoy doing the open lines and getting a chance to talk to you people out across the country and to know that really the people listening in almost every state, and certainly through the miracle of shortwave, and we got an excellent shortwave signal this hour, and then of course we have, it's actually on two major shortwave stations. We also, of course, on the internet, are on the about 11 stations that include shortwave and internet, and we have an opportunity to reach people all across the country with the truth that they're not going to get elsewhere. And so if you'd be interested in joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our weekend program, of course, goes out to 33 stations now. I'd like to get it on a lot more stations, but we have to, of course, work with what God provides for us. So if you would like to help, give us a call. And then, of course, we hope many of you will want to get our material on the Planned Police State. That's DVD, and there's a syllabus that goes with that. We'll give you tremendous information. If you'd like to understand the background of the occult organizations in the United States, the DVDs would be The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. That's The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, which is a sequel to the first one. And both of these were put together by our friend Chris Pinto. We have a program that Chris Pinto did here. It's called The Atlantis Connection, a talk he gave. We certainly recommend that for you. It's on DVD. We have Constance Cumby's material, her DVD, and called The Emergence, talking about, of course, the One World Ruler who is coming, and, of course, her experience working with and within the New Age movement. And then, of course, her four-tape set on just Constance Cumby's four-tape or four-CD set give you tremendous insight into the spiritual forces at work in our society. If you've not yet heard my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, it's posted up on our website. Hopefully you'll want to buy the book and the DVD, but you can go to RadioLiberty.com and scroll down to videos, and then, of course, go to the Brotherhood of Darkness, and you can watch it there on your television set. Hopefully you'll want to get the book that has all the documentation in it. And then, of course, I talk on the Forbidden Secret. What is the forbidden secret? Well, it's a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years by the secret societies. It is epitomized in the pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye that's hovering above the top of the unfinished pyramid. You'll see it on the back of our dollar bill. You'll see it on the Supreme Court building in Israel. Barry Sammons, who's a frequent guest on our program, a Jewish patriot, talks about how you'll find these occult pyramids all over Israel, but then you'll find them all over America. We have all sorts of pyramids right here in America. They built them down. I believe there's one in Tennessee. So these pyramids have a spiritual significance, just as the pyramids in Giza did. How were they able 5,000 years ago to build those great pyramids? Why, they tapped into this supernatural dimension, and this is what it's really all about. This is what Stonehenge is about. This is what the American Stonehenge in Elberton, Georgia is about. This is what the Mayan temples are all built as, certainly as pyramids in South America, and all aligned perfectly north, south, east, and west. How were they able to do that? Why, of course, they tapped into the secret knowledge. So you'll certainly want to get our talk on the secret knowledge. You'll want to get the syllabus that goes with that and learn about the angel that rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm. The angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm. President Bush talked about that on two occasions in his first inaugural address. And, of course, we helped to explain to you the techniques of esoteric writing. I do not believe for 1 minute that President Bush writes his speeches. He may not even realize the significance of the things that he's saying. But believe me, the people who includes his hidden or esoteric messages do and write the speeches. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Please go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and look at other video section. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and I'm bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for this next hour, they're going to be views of Patrick Wood of the August Review. And but to somebody that called in at the end of the last hour, asked about Ross Perot, what had happened to him, saying he used to speak out, what's he doing now? Well, I believe Ross Perot was a patriot. I do not believe he was part of the establishment, although he was dependent upon the establishment for his income. And, of course, a lot of his company was working on government contracts. But when he ran for the presidency, and that would have been, I believe, 1988 was the first time, and, of course, he was going to pull votes away from the Republicans, why a contract was put out on Ross Perot's life. And you remember Ross Perot, after getting off to a great start, and he had a lot of followers, and, he was really becoming a contender. He was told that there was a contract on his life. And, of course, you remember he dropped out of the race. Well, I had an opportunity to talk to the man who was given the contract. His name was Chip Tatum, and we have a number of interviews with Chip Tatum. He was a professional assassin for the Central Intelligence Agency, and but he, of course, did not carry out his assignment. His life was in danger. Chip Tatum eventually fled to South or Central America, and at least according to Ted Gunderson, Chip Tatum's body washed ashore on one of the Caribbean beaches not too long ago. And that's what happens to assassins who do not carry out their assignments, specifically the murdering of Ross Perot. Well, Ross Perot got the message, and I believe he has been told to be quiet if he wants to maintain his business, if he values the life of his family. And this is the way things really operate in the United States today, ladies and gentlemen. This is the reality. I've interviewed a number of people who've been assassinated. I've interviewed at least three professional assassins. One of them was L.D. Brown, who did not carry out his assignment to kill Terry Reid, who'd written a book about George Bush and Bill Clinton. And then, of course, I interviewed Colonel Daniel Marvin, and then, of course, I interviewed Chip Tatum. Two of them are still living. One is dead. And a number of the people I have interviewed have been assassinated. One of them, Gary Webb, who shot himself in the head twice to make sure he was dead. But we're way off the subject. Let's go to Patrick Wood, certainly one of my favorite guests, and I'm sure yours as well. And we're going to be talking about what's really going on financially in the world. Patrick, thank you so much for coming on to be with us today.
Well, you're welcome, Dr. Stan. Good to be here again with you.
You go right ahead.
Well, I guess we're going to talk about financial situation again in the world tonight. The biggest news we could possibly talk about is the meltdown of the two largest mortgage organizations in this country, namely Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. That's an acronym for two government organizations originally started by the government to finance mortgages in America. And these two giant lending institutions are falling into total chaos right now. Their stocks are respectively down almost 60% this year. There's talk on the street now that both companies are at risk of completely melting down. And if they do, it will throw our country literally into depression within 2 or 3 months.
And of course, basically they're the ones who are offering the mortgages at the present time, are buying up the mortgages. And if they go under, and certainly there's a good chance they will, if they can't raise an awful lot more money, because they just haven't been run well at all. For a long period of time, they may be making irresponsible loans. But if they go down, I believe Pat's right. We're in for a real bad ride.
Well, the ride is bad enough right now, of course, but it's going to get worse.
Okay, go right ahead.
Well, we've got the thing that brought the subprime mortgage to everybody's attention was that bad loans especially, were securitized, in other words, turned into securities packages and sold to investors around the world. And that was exactly what happened. Those things went south. The mortgages went south because the lenders were the lendees were defaulting. But now the default rate has moved all across society now in our country. We've got 1 million homes right now in various stages of default currently. And that means that good mortgages, formerly good mortgages, are also going south on us, or south on Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. And they have done the same thing with securitizing loans that the other companies have done, securitizing subprime loans. And so we're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars of loans that are gathered up by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac from the banks that originate them, and they're packaged into securities, and they're sold to investors all around the world. It's the same mechanism, same scam, if you will, that they've been using for the subprime market for decades. And now that whole system is coming unglued. And we warned of this, but almost near certainty, a year ago when the subprime market started to crack, that everything else virtually had to follow. And now we see it's following. And now, the people on Wall Street are just wringing their hands over the possibility of one or both of these going belly up. If the government tries to intervene and bail them out, it's going to be very difficult. It's politically going to be difficult for whoever might suggest it. And it's going to be, I can't imagine how expensive it would be to our government to even think about bailing these companies out of this.
But don't they really hold close to $1 trillion worth of loans, or half a trillion anyway? Do you have any idea how many loans they're holding?
Well, most of the loans that they have, they only process them, they cycle them through, and they sell them to investors around the world. So there's two problems here. One is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are merely the conduit. Yes, they hold a certain amount of loans for a period of time that they're buying up, but they're a conduit to get these loans sold as securities to assets, in other words, to people around the world.
But what happens if the people don't trust the loans and don't trust Freddie Mac and Freddie Mae, and they get stuck with all these loans that they've
holding? That's exactly right. There's going to be a lot of very upset investors around the world, and this, this is going to be the mechanism that brings the world even further to global depression.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Patrick Wood of the August Review. And for those of you who don't know Patrick, of course, had worked with Tony Sutton, our good friend, many years ago, and had written a couple of books, Trilateralists Over Washington. And of course, for some time, Patrick's been retired, like I'm retired, of course, working full-time with the August Review, his organization, to bring understanding to people across our country. Now, Patrick is talking about the danger of Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac going bankrupt. And of course, we've had a lot of the subprime loans default, and then there's something sort of between the AAA loans and then the subprime loans, that's the Alt-A loans. They're going under, and now, of course, even the AAA loans are going under. Why would they be going under? Because people have mortgages that are valued far above the value of their home, and as home prices fall, would you want to really be paying a mortgage on a house that wasn't worth only maybe 80% of what you're paying a mortgage on? And so this is going to cause many of the people who are even holding, who have even a good credit rating, they're going to sort of turn their back on their loans, and the loan companies, the people who bought these bonds, are going to be in real trouble. So pick up the story there.
Well, exactly. Fannie and Freddie are the conduit for all of the banks in our country to originate loans, sell those loans to these organizations. They in turn securitize them and sell them to investors around the world. It used to be that banks would loan the money that they received from depositors to, finance real estate and stuff in the community. Obviously, that is long gone with globalization, that concept. Your loans don't stick around the United States anymore. They get sold to people outside the country. So last year, for instance, Fannie had packaged some $2.8 trillion worth of mortgages. And Dr. Stan, that represents, just with Fannie Mae alone, that represented 23% of all the outstanding mortgage debt that was originated. It's huge. And they turned around and sold these securities to people, not in America, but to other nations and stuff, other countries, other investors around the world. So if Fannie Mae is not there and Freddie Mac's not there to buy these mortgages, the banks will have nowhere to take your mortgage. If you apply for a mortgage, I don't care how good it is, they're not going to have anywhere to sell it. And the bottom line is the banks are not going to loan the money if they can't turn around and sell the mortgage to a Fannie or a Freddie Mac. And so that would virtually bring our housing market to a standstill. It would just cause real estate prices to crash.
And, of course, the other thing that really, of course, concerns me, Patrick, is the fact that they're going to have to raise interest rates. They're 2% right now. They're going to have to raise these interest rates, as Paul Volcker did back in 1980, up to 17%, you know, before they're going to be able to bring inflation under control, because inflation is here. It doesn't matter what, of course, the government says. They're simply lying. They're lying about the rate of inflation. They're lying about the M3. They're lying about the foreigners coming in and buying up our companies, and of course the foreigners are coming in, buying up our companies, and of course they're bringing all those dollars that they're holding throughout the rest of the world in here, highly inflationary. But of course, you know, when this
Well, it is. And what caused the Great Depression, the Great Market Crash in 1929 in particular, was the withdrawal of credit from the free market. And that was done in a number of ways, by raising the discount rate to banks, and also increasing the margin requirements that people where people could borrow money to buy securities. And the net effect of it was to withdraw money from the markets. Stock prices had to go down. Once that roller coaster was started, they couldn't stop it. And the very same mistake, however, is being made today. And in my opinion, while everybody is, everybody's saying, well, interest rates need to go up, that will prove to be, I believe, the absolute fatal mistake for our markets in this country and around the world. That as money is withdrawn from markets, they will literally collapse as well. Europe has started this process just this last week by raising their interest rate a quarter point. That's the ECB. And
that's the European Central Bank.
The European
right.
Central Bank. And there's a lot of pressure right now being put by the Bank for International Settlements on various banks around the world to raise their interest rates as well. The policy seems to be raise interest rates. That will further dry up the credit system around the world, and it will make less money available for everything. Markets will feel the pinch. Real estate will feel the pinch. Economies around the world will feel the pinch. And whatever they're thinking in their head about the inflation right now, the numbers are pointed in the other direction.
Towards a depression or deflation.
If you take oil, the sensational things, if you take oil out, take corn out, take some of the commodities out and stuff, prices are collapsing around the world. Real estate prices are collapsing. And in Southern California alone, prices year over year, and from May to May, 2007 to 2008, real estate prices are down almost 35%, Dr. Stan. That is just so incredible. But these kinds of things aren't being talked about. Our real estate market is collapsing in this country. The same behavior is seen all around the world, except for a very few small, handful of small countries. And you see stock prices declining all around the world. There are trillions of dollars being lost in wealth because of these asset drops. You know, like Americans, for instance, they have the majority of their money is in their house. Their net wealth is in their house. They have a pension fund. They have, you know, a college fund stuck away in some stocks. They're waking up and finding out, gosh, you know, I lost 50% in the last 6 months. Where's my money going? Prices are going down. And the bottom line, in my mind, the bottom line is the middle class in this country and around the world that have these kinds of assets, little bit of real estate, little bit of stocks and stuff, these groups of people are being wiped out, Dr. Stan. They don't even know in many cases how wiped out they are, but there's going to be no recovery from this because they're like, for instance, like Fannie and Freddie right now. If they're counted out, there will be no rescuing them because they're going to be exhausted. There's no place they can come back from. They'll just be gone, evaporated.
And, of course, the people who have invested in their stock will, of course, lose what they have, just like the people who are in Bear Stearns, the people that they're buying Bear Stearns stock, $50, $60 a share, and suddenly it drops to $2 a share. They raised it up to $10 a share. People were so grateful. They got $10 on their original $50 investment, but at least they got something out of it.
At least they got something. And, of course, you know, there's been, you know, dropout stocks, like all of the financials, have just been turned in terrible performance in the last 6 to 8 months, and in fact, the first 6 months of this year, as far as the stock market concerned, the stock market turned in the worst performance for a 6 month period, a beginning 6 month period of the year, for any year since 1930, right after the big crash. That's an astounding realization. Our stock market is reeling right now, and probably the real damage hasn't even been done yet.
And, of course, if you have to, of course, calculate stock values in view of the real value of the dollar. In other words, because of the inflation that we've had, in other words, the dollar losing its value, you may have, say, the same amount of money in your stock that you had 10 years ago, but the stock is worth 40% less. And if the stock is down, you're even further behind.
Well, that's right. And there's a lot of paradoxes going on right now. For instance, the dollar, which had been collapsing for so long, really made a pretty solid trading bottom back in the first quarter of this year. And since then, the dollar has been moving in a channel, in an upwards channel, where the channel has been clearly defined now. And even though people are, you know, a lot of traders and people are still talking about the dollar being, you know, the end of the dollar is imminent and so on, the dollar actually has been in a very solid rallying position for the last 3 to 4 months now.
But, Patrick, how can that be? Certainly, I'm not questioning what you say, but if you look at it logically, I mean, first of all, there's nothing behind our dollar. I mean, certainly it's all a paper currency. It all has to be manipulated by the international financiers, the international markets, and the international financiers are propping up the American dollar. They don't want it to go too low because, of course, that makes our goods more competitive against theirs. So other countries are propping up our dollar. But there's nothing behind any of them at all, is there?
Well, no, there isn't. In a fiat currency system, which we have worldwide, there's nothing backing it up. It's just paper, and for the most part, it's just credits in a computer somewhere. You know, ones and zeros, hyperspace somewhere. But that's been true for a long time. Money is only, you know, money in our world today because somebody declares it money and other people believe it. And it's a confidence game in that sense. But what's going on with the dollar right now, there is no alternative in the world. People talk about the euro, you know, being a substitute for the dollar. It will never happen, at least not in the near future, like 3 to 5, you know, plus years. The dollar is not, I personally believe that there is no alternative in the world but for people to hang on to the dollar system and make it work. Having said that, there's a lot of talk internationally about bringing a new global currency on the scene that will include the dollar, the euro, and the yen, and ultimately a gold peg as well. There's a lot of international chatter about bringing gold back into the monetary system. And when I say global chatter, I'm talking about within the elite circles, not people like you and me.
Hold that thought, Patrick. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, as it goes, Patrick Wood. Patrick is talking about the fact that there's a lot of chatter out there and the things that would come out of the Council on Foreign Relations. The elitists, of course, are talking about the fact that there's real problems with the monetary system, and perhaps what we need would be some sort of a global currency, an international currency. And then the suggestion has been that this would be backed by gold. And there's another one of the articles in Foreign Affairs magazine recently saying that what we need is an international currency, a global currency, privately issued, backed by gold. Somebody, of course, is buying up all the gold. I'm sure somebody will be out there quite willing, of course, to actually issue a private currency. After all, if you can issue the currency, well, you can do any what you want to, backing it by gold, but it would be privately. It would not be government, because you can't depend on governments. They were controlled by politicians who are always irresponsible, who will always do what benefits them and their constituents. And, of course, the idea of a global currency. But what would happen then to the value of our dollars, Patrick, if that should happen?
Well, you know, the dollar will exist. I figure it this way. The dollar will exist until something better comes along. There is nothing better on the scene right now. And I'm just thinking like a globalist almost right now. There's nothing better than the dollar around. So we'll ride that until it's absolutely done. But like you said, gold can come back in as an international trading vehicle through the bullion banks that have been growing up over the last 10 to 15 years. The bullion banks can create credits now. They create a banking system where you deposit money in their bank, and instead of owning, you know, like $1,000, you own 1,000 grams of silver or 50 grams or grains of gold. And your account is denominated in gold, in actual ounces and grains of gold, rather than in a currency. So when you go to, if you want to buy, you know, pay for something in euros a year from now, well, whatever the euro is trading for, you know, your gold is translated into euros, and then you pay for whatever it is you're buying. That kind of banking is already in place, and many companies and many individuals are actually using these things around the world. This is privately owned stuff. There's as far as I know, there's not one publicly held bullion bank right now. I don't know who owns them, honestly. But my guess is it's the same international crowd that owns the J.P. Morgans and the HSBCs and all the other big banks in the world. Probably those families are the ones that own the bullion banks.
When Patrick refers to the HSBC, that's the Hong Kong-Singapore banking, and basically that is the largest bank in the world. It's a foreign bank, and predominantly, I understand, owned by some of the royal families over there in Europe, what they refer to as the black nobility. Well, certainly, we're looking at very, very unusual times. What about the exchange-traded funds? Would these be fitting into the category you're describing?
The
gold ETFs, the exchange-traded funds. Is this what you're speaking of?
Well, no, not at all. The banking, the bullion banking companies that Ben Stile of the CFR was talking about in his article that you just referenced, I believe. I think you're referencing the same one I'm thinking about. The speech was given by Ben Stile. He's the international economist at the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations. And he made a reference.
Hold that thought, Patrick. We'll be back in just a moment as we bring our stations back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Patrick's been talking about this whole idea of banking based upon gold or silver and opening an account. And, of course, put your money in, but it will be denominated in gold or silver. He's referring to a gentleman named Ben. Ben, is it Stein?
Ben Stile.
Ben Stile. Of course, he's a fellow there at the Council on Foreign Relations, and he'd given a talk recently. He didn't pick up the story because I think it's one of the people who works for the Council on Foreign Relations gives a talk on gold as the basis for our currency and the basis for our money. When he speaks, you better listen. He used to say when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Well, E.F. Hutton isn't around anymore, but the Council on Foreign Relations is, and when one of their representatives speaks, you better well listen, because these are the people who are pretty well running the financial system here in the United States. Go right ahead.
Well, that's right, and we, you know, this is where a lot of their trial balloons are floated. You know, they won't come out with a major policy paper, but they'll throw something out in the speech and just see how everybody reacts to it, and then they come back later and they'll make, you know, if they like what they hear, they'll come back later and make a bigger policy on it. And that, in my estimation, that's what Ben Stile was doing. He kind of dropped this out as a, in my mind, as a trial balloon. But what he was saying is the bullion banks, which are privately owned, they're all computerized, they're well capitalized with gold bullion. And so, and they're still in bricks. The 400 ounce, you know, 99.9% pure gold in monetized bricks. So this gold is stored in their vaults, and when you open an account with a bullion bank and you deposit money into that account, your money comes in dollars and euros and yens. It doesn't matter what currency that you deposit in. It's immediately converted into gold. And you will own a certain number of ounces and grains of gold that they will store on your, they say anyway, they will store it on your behalf. We'll question that later. That they'll store the gold on your behalf, and that you can actually write checks against your gold. They give you a credit card just like you have at a bank. You can go out and spend, and you go down to Denny's and buy a meal, and they swipe your card, you say you paid $25 for your dinner, and you'll have $25 charge appear on your statement, they will, when they receive that electronically, they will convert a certain number of grains of your gold into dollars to pay Denny's, your gold balance will go down. Now that means that your gold card, if you will, can be used anywhere in the world. That just like your American Express card, you never see any difference externally. But internally, your wealth is stored in gold.
Does this work as far as silver is concerned?
There's also some institutions that are allowing denomination of silver, but it's very minor compared to gold.
Now, what do you call these banks, and how would we read more about them? I'm fascinated by it.
Well, it is. The bullion banks are operated mostly in Europe,
right,
as far as I can tell. And, honestly, I don't know, I couldn't give you a list by name of all the banks that are engaging in this kind of activity.
But this is really something rather new, and really rather exciting, because you're talking about a stable, a back currency rather than a fiat currency.
Well, that's true. The only difficulty is the people who actually own the gold are, in control of the gold are these good bullion bankers, and of course it's the same scheme that was put forth in 1913, that the private institution will control and manipulate the currency. So, they will be in a position, if they do this, to control the value of currency throughout the world. This is a great feather in the cap of the global elite to do that. They can't, the control of currencies today is really a mishmash of central banks answering through the Bank for International Settlements, and it gets pretty messy at times, and they make a lot of mistakes and, get themselves in a lot of trouble.
Well, I'm sure you've read the Bank for International Settlements report. I just came out here recently, and they're talking about really a tremendous turmoil in the currency markets throughout the world, and specifically pointing out that America is leading the world into really sort of a disastrous situation.
Yes.
Here's the central banker's central bank putting out a report, and it's available on the Internet, and we do have it, but we've read it, and when they begin talking about, tumultuous times coming ahead, certainly the collapse of our economic system, I think we ought to all be concerned, don't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we shouldn't ignore what they said. I believe that the BIS also made several hints in their paper that they're thinking not in terms of inflation, but in terms of deflation, which is also a very scary prospect.
And, of course, with deflation, of course, the prices begin to collapse, but there's no money that's available. They dry up the money supply, and whether they do it by withdrawing money or by raising interest rates, doesn't matter. The whole world economy goes into contraction and many times into chaos. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Patrick Wood. Patrick, pick up the story there.
Well, we've been asking questions for a long time as to where is the gold in the world. And the people that told us in the early 70s when Nixon closed the gold window, people were asking, well, where is our gold? Where's our national store of gold? And, they asked about other countries as well. There's never been a national audit of Fort Knox to know exactly what's in there.
It's really very interesting. Very often on television, they will talk about the gold and they'll let you talk to people who said, well, I've seen the gold, and then they'll show pictures of stacks of gold, but there's never been an audit. How do we know they're telling the truth? How do we even know that there's any gold there?
Well, we really don't. There probably is gold there. The question is it our gold or is it somebody else's gold that's just being stored? The big difference. If somebody else has a certificate saying, hey, that's my gold, we can't lay claim to it.
Well, of course, we know that there are tremendous stocks of gold in the first Federal Reserve Bank of New York City because they talk about that in their brochures. But, of course, it's not just the gold of the United States. It's the gold of a number of other countries. All stroll there on pallets and move back and forth as their sales. And that seems to be a repository of a lot of the gold in the world. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I really do. And there was quite a bit of evidence to a couple of decades ago that most of Fort Knox gold was actually moved to the Fed in New York, or to the New York Fed vault in New York. And there was no proof of that. There were some smoking guns, but recently the biggest smoking gun on the gold that was there is that there was a press release that came out of England that said that there were gold bars discovered in the Bank of England in their giant vault in the basement underground vault that they have at the central bank there, that this gold was developing cracks and that they were very concerned about it. And that's all the press release said. And anybody that understands gold knows that gold doesn't crack. If you have pure gold, like in the gold monetized bars that are 0.9999% pure gold, those bars do not crack. The only reason the bar would crack is if it had other alloys in it, and the only gold in the 20th century that had such cracks, that had such alloys in it, was the gold that was confiscated as coins from the public by FDR. That gold was melted down into 400-ounce bars, but it was not refined. In other words, it was not re-smelted to get out the alloys that allowed those coins to actually be in people's pockets.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Patrick Wood. And, of course, the question comes up, where is the American gold? Is it in Fort Knox? Is it stored in Sydney in the First Federal Reserve Bank of New York City, where we know there's a lot of gold stored, not only American, but British and French and German? And the gold is just there on pallets, and they move it around with a forklift from one country's area to another country's area. But then Sydney, Patrick was talking about a recent article that had come out of England saying that they'd found some bars somewhere basic places there, the basement of the Bank of England, but these gold bars were cracking. And of course, Patrick's point was that gold does not crack. The only gold that cracks would be American gold that was called in from the Americans, and those coins were melted down, but they were an alloy. They weren't solid gold. And of course, those bars would crack. So what are they doing in the vaults over in Great Britain if that's where it came from?
This is the question that nobody will answer, and it's just a brick wall, or maybe it's a gold brick wall, I don't know, but nobody will answer that question. You can't get anything out of anybody. The press release does not say that gold belongs to the United States. It says, you know, the implication is it belongs to England somehow, and there was no explanation given as to the source of the gold originally. But, you know, you put two and two together, there was no coin melt in the last century other than the coin melt that took place in the United States. So all the rest of the gold that was refined into 400-ounce bars during the last century was all pure gold. Most of it, of course, came from South Africa. A lot of it came from, you know, other countries, including the U.S. as well. But all of that kind of gold that was used for monetized gold was put into pure 400-ounce bars, and those will never, unless somebody just cheated you, they will never develop cracks. So there's only one source of that gold that exists in the basement of the Bank of England, and that's the United States. So, you know, it would be comforting to know if somebody said, well, yes, the gold is there, but it's being held in the name of the United States Treasury.
Or is it being held in somebody else's name? Dr. Dennis Cuddy, who's certainly one of my favorite researchers, the man I felt to be very, very accurate in what he said, had written an article recently, just a little aside, that a lot of America's gold was transferred to Europe and was actually sold, but nobody knew who'd actually bought it. And then, of course, somebody who'd worked for the Rockefellers came forward and said, well, the Rockefellers bought that gold, and very shortly thereafter, this woman who made the statement died under very mysterious circumstances. Is it possible that the Rockefellers are buying up gold in Europe and storing it in the banks there, Bank of England? Who knows? They didn't tell us who the gold actually belonged to, did they? It could be being held for somebody else or for some very powerful banking family in the United States, like the Rockefeller family.
Well, exactly. And to buy a gold bar, a 400-ounce bar, you need to understand if gold was $1,000 an ounce, you're talking about a $400,000 investment for one bar. And so when the government sells off, for instance, let's say 1,000 tons of gold, well, okay, do the math. You know, count up the tons, count up the ounces, multiply it by the gold price, and you say, holy mackerel, who has that kind of cash?
Well, it ain't me, it ain't you, so obviously it's got to be somebody of great wealth like the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, like the DuPonts, like the elite 40 families that run America and a similar number that run what's going on over in Europe. In fact, there's a reference in Professor Quigley's book to the fact that there are 60 families that run Europe, and they all know one another, and of course they all work in concert, and these get to be in the royal families and the banking families, and they've been around for a long time, people of great wealth, and of course certainly no moral conscience in my way of thinking.
Exactly. And I think it'll come to light one day, you know, sometime in the next year or two, because a lot of people are looking for, they're kind of on the trail now, you know, like a bloodhound, you know, looking for clues as to what's going on here. I think it will be discovered at some point exactly who owns these various bullion banks that Ben Stahl referred to. And, you know, as we see them behave, that is, as we see them, you know, operate within the global community, we'll see pretty quickly what their scheme is. And I think the scheme is going to be pretty simple. These are the same people that told us that gold was worthless when Nixon closed the gold window in the 70s. So, you know, they told us gold was worthless, that it was just a relic. It had no place in the international monetary system and never would, and basically talked everybody out of their gold and, you know, basically just says, guys, forget it. It's just, we're not using gold anymore. It's useless.
And the gold that sold for $35 an ounce in about 1963, 1964,
yes,
is almost $1,000 an ounce today.
That's right.
About an increase of about 30 times on your initial investment. Don't you wish you had invested at that time?
Exactly. And so, you know, the scam has been, in my estimation, during this period of time, while gold is supposedly useless, that these people have caused a massive transfer of gold from governments, which most of the gold was held by governments at that time, remember, by the central banks for the treasuries of those countries. The gold has been transferred from the people's hands into individuals' hands. I think this is what's going to go down in the history books as the real significant thing that's happened since the 1970, for instance. That the gold that is not physically held by the people, by the governments for the people in these various countries, but it's actually held by a very few individuals that have quietly and methodically bought up all these gold bars over the last 35 to 40 years.
And I think, of course, we understand that many of these families, people who bought it up, part of banking families, banks can create money out of nothing. They can actually have this ability to by this fractional reserve banking system, create money out of nothing, and then they can take money that they've created out of nothing and use it to buy something of intrinsic value like gold. They know the value of gold. They just don't want the American people to know the value.
And they will let us know, I suppose, at some point in the future. But in the meantime, the con is still on. The gold banks, by the way, these bullion banks that Ben Stahl referred to, they are fractional banking organizations. They don't maintain 100% of the gold that you actually buy into when you make a deposit. If you, they're not counting on everybody demanding all their gold at the same time. So they can overbook, if you will. They can maintain, $1 million worth of deposits, even though they only have $100,000 worth of gold in their vault. It's a fractional reserve system again, just like we have now with fiat currency.
And because that's what the old gold merchants used to do, of course, when originally we had the people who would set up these banks with money based upon gold. You could put your gold in there and they'd give you a paper certificate. And any time you wanted to cash it in, why, they'd give you your gold back again.
Right.
But what they knew was, of course, everybody wasn't going to come at one time. At least they hoped everybody would come at one time. So they began printing twice as many certificates as they had gold, and then three times and four times. And right now, of course, it's up about nine. The banks, even though they're not working in gold, obviously they are working in fiat currency, but they can lend up to nine times or ten times the amount of money they have in reserve. So it's the same old scam, only now they don't even have the gold behind the currency.
Exactly. So, the banking system is going to be reinvented in the future, and it's going to be reinvented with, within private hands again. What else is new? It's in private hands now, but it's going to be in private hands again. And they will come out with a much stronger position than they have right now, I think, around the world. A lot more control over the finances of all the various countries and people groups in the world. And this truly will be a global banking system. There's already been a call for a global central bank that would supersede all of the other all of the other central banks of the world, and that would be even something would be greater than even the Bank for International Settlements in Switzerland. And we see people talking this way. The big fright right now that's in the international community is instability. There all the things that are being lobbied for by the global elite right now are ostensibly to bring stability back to markets, stability to the economy, to currencies, to stock markets, to real estate markets, and so on. And even though it is a great crisis to us because we're the middle class getting wiped out, I'm a little suspicious that they're not saying, screaming Chicken Little, the sky is falling, just to exacerbate the emergency in everybody else's mind so that they can manage the emergency to their own benefit. They're experts at doing this. They've done it for decades, and you can see them moving just with any kind of emergency that comes along. 9/11 was a good example. And I'm not even addressing the issue of why or how 9/11 happened, but as a disaster, as a catastrophe, the global elite used that to great advantage for themselves. So we see them operating in this, and they will come out with a stronger position in their minds than what they have right now. And we will come out on the short end of the stick, as usual.
Well, I think it's important to realize that the ultimate goal is a world government, and you can't have sovereign nations with sovereign currencies and a world government. You've got to do away with sovereign nations, and you've got to do away with sovereign currencies. If you want to go a one world government, you got to have a one world currency. That's how you unite the world. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I would absolutely agree. That is, the plan has been to remove national sovereignty from all the sovereign nations of the world and merge them into ultimately into a completely unified global system. In the meantime, the stepping stone is to create regional blocks, regional economic blocks, similar to the European Union, to the Asian Union, to the African Union, and also the North American Union, I might add, which we've talked about before, the merger of Mexico, Canada, and the United States into a common trading bloc.
And of course, we're well along the way. People don't understand this is a laid-out plan. They tell us exactly what they're going to do, and they've published this. But we can't let the American people know, they can't let the American people know, that these people working at the highest levels of our government, having sworn an oath to our Constitution of Allegiance, are actually traitors. Their loyalty is not to America, but to the globalist dream, and I believe they're powerful spiritual forces that are energizing the movement towards the New World Order, the destruction of Christianity and the New World Religion, and the implementation and enthronement of a New World Ruler. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you'd like to talk to Patrick Wood, who certainly is one of the best informed people I know. Patrick, we got something mentioning you were going to be having a program. Would you like to tell our program listeners about that? It's going to be, it's actually going to be a telephone conference call, isn't it?
Well, actually, I'm doing an internet a presentation over the internet, Dr. Stan, on the financial situation and stuff around the world. And I've only offered, if anybody's interested in attending it, it's going to be on this Friday, and the only way they'll be able to get a seat in it is to actually contact my office, either email edit the email editor at augustreview.com, or call our office. You go on our website, augustreview.com, and see our contact information and stuff. Contact us. The seat, an enrollment fee is going to be charged of $50, and that's just to cover expenses and the ability to do it over the internet and stuff, the infrastructure that we need for this. But it will be a live presentation with audio that people will track over the internet, and they'll be listening on the telephone to the audio portion. It's a pretty exciting way to do a presentation.
Why don't you actually tell our listeners what your telephone number is, because most of them can't call you unless they do know the number.
Well, certainly I can. It's area code, 208-712-0170. It's 208-712-0170.
And will they actually be able to watch this on the internet or just hear the voices?
No, be able to watch it on the internet and hear voice at the same time.
Now, will it be interactive with the people in the audience?
Right.
Be able to talk to you or ask questions?
People will be able to ask questions via a chat facility, so that I can see the what they type in and stuff. I might unleash some ability to speak back, but depending on how many people are in the conference, I can get pretty sticky because we can't see each other, raise our hand. So there will at least be a feedback mechanism to type questions to me that I can then answer verbally.
All right, fine. And of course, this is pretty new technology, isn't it?
It really is new technology, and it's exciting, because who wants to buy a plane ticket to go to a conference anymore? We can do these kinds of conferences over the internet. I stay in my office, and all the listeners stay in their homes or their office, and all they need is a decent internet connection and a telephone, and they can see my screen, they can see my PowerPoint presentation and the slides and stuff that I go through, and I can put up other graphics and things, that charts and whatever that make the case of what I'm speaking about. And it's basically like attending a live conference and having a slideshow going on behind you on the screen while you're talking. It's about the same difference.
Could you actually do this as a live conference and then have it broadcast simultaneously? Is that possible?
It can be. And some services actually do that. They have a simulcast that will go out to a number of streams and stuff. I'm not going to be doing that with this conference, although We will be recording the conference only for people that attend it live, so that they might listen to it again for a period of a week after we do the live seminar. But the intent of this is not, this is just something I'm doing privately for my readership and stuff and a few other people that want to know. The August Review isn't concerned with people's investments per se, but I have a background in this, and I feel, you know, people have asked me to share what I know. So, you know, I'm kind of doing this as an exception to what August Review is about, just talking about globalization in general. And, you know, people that have assets that are concerned about their money, and they ought to be, for Pete's sake, they really want to know, what does this mean for me, and how do I get out of harm's way? That's a difficult question for a lot of people. And
well, my concern is that an awful lot of people are going to lose everything before this is over. The people are, you know, are depending upon the stability of the dollar, their pension funds, their annuities, their CDs, their even their insurance policies, denominated in dollars down the line, could be essentially worthless.
Exactly. It's very difficult. We live in perilous times, Dr. Stan.
Well, I think that you and I recognize that. I really suspect that a lot of the people who listen to our programs are either live, certainly on our internet or shortwave or through the stations. This program is being heard on about six stations plus shortwave this evening, and then it will be archived for a month or more. And then, of course, we have the MP3 pull down on this. So what a wonderful opportunity to actually be able to reach people with your message and with our message as well. Our guest has been Patrick Wood. Patrick, hang on there for just a minute, and we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, Patrick, you go right ahead. You've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
Yeah, Dr. Stan, I want to just get back to where we started with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and what's at stake with the potential collapse of these giant mortgage institutions. If the government steps in and bails out these companies, it's so massive, the bailout would be so massive that that already Standard & Poor's, which is the largest credit rating agency you know in the world, Standard & Poor's will be in a position, if the government steps in to bail them out, to reduce the rating on the creditworthiness of the United States. And even if we were reduced from AAA plus to anything else, that would mean the interest that we have to pay on our national debt would go up at least a half a percent or a percent, which would mean it would cost us trillions and trillions of dollars. There would be no return from such a disaster.
And of course, the thing that worries me is we might lose the reserve status of the dollar. That would be an international disaster.
All I can say is it's going to be interesting times for the balance of this year.
Amen to that. Well, I really think that we're going to have you on from time to time to keep us abreast of what's going on. Because Patrick is going to be one of our speakers at our October 26th conference here in the Monterey Bay area. And we do hope that those of you out there listening will give serious consideration to coming to hear Patrick. And we're going to have Dr. Russell Blaylock talking in health. We're going to have Joanna Michelson talking about her experience when she was a medium and deeply involved with these occult movements throughout the world. And then, of course, we'll be speaking. Michael Shaw will be there. It'll be a good program. We're not going to have too many speakers. We think that we've made a mistake in the past by having too many speakers. And so certainly Patrick and all the other speakers are going to have an hour and a half or more so that you'll actually have a chance to hear what they have to say and time simply to relax in between the talks. So, Patrick, we're really looking forward to your coming down to be with us. We'll talk to you more about that. And then, of course, Patrick will be speaking, hopefully, at the EuroC conference. That's going to be on the 6th of September in Southern California, which I'll be speaking there as well. And, of course, William Federer. So that's going to be sort of a reunion of a lot of the people here on Radio Liberty. Do you have a parting thought before we let you go?
No, Dr. Stan. All I can say is be a watchman on the wall to any extent that you can. You're responsible for the knowledge that you have in your possession. And there's never been a better time, I don't think, for those that are predisposed to study the Bible. There's never been a better time to begin to read, study Daniel.
Hold on out of time. God bless.
God bless.
Thanks so very much. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Patrick was simply talking about the spiritual component of what's going on, which I really appreciate the fact that he, as a born-again Christian, recognizes that there are powerful spiritual forces at work within the financial crisis that we're heading towards. And if you'd like to get more into that aspect of what's going on, certainly let me suggest our pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. And there's a 3-pamphlet set. We hope you want to get that. We actually, of course, would be glad to provide anybody who gets any of our products we talk about a copy of a pamphlet put out by the Lucius Trust. It was actually part of a book that was channeled to Alice Bailey back 50 or more years ago. And it's called, the pamphlet is called The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy. And they talk about the master plan for the world. The ancients of wisdom, the elder brothers, the great white brotherhood, are working behind the scenes. The people who really run the world. Most people have never heard of the Great White Brotherhood. They've never heard of the Elder Brothers. They've never heard of the Ancients of Wisdom. But they believe, of course, that they are perfected human beings, and I believe they're demonic spirits, working behind the scenes, directing the course of human events. Well, if you'd like to, of course, get more information, my talk on the planned police state, the syllabus goes with that, are vitally important to give you information. My talk on the forbidden secret, it will give you tremendous understanding of what's going on today. From the spiritual point of view, my book, and the talk, The Brotherhood of Darkness. So you have to understand how this can have been played out, how these people from century to century working within world finance can be directing the course of world events and wars and just all the many catastrophes that we've seen over the last several centuries. But only when you understand the spiritual component of what's going on does any of this make sense. And when you understand that there really are people who've given themselves over to the dark side, who have essentially sold their souls. We have a DVD, either a 3-hour, a 4-hour, or a 10-hour DVD. It's called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. It's talking about the rock and roll industry and, of course, all the people there who will openly admit that they have actually sold their souls. You have to understand that there are people who have a different worldview. They've given themselves over to the fellow who runs this world and the other world as well. They believe that that is Satan, and he's going to give them great power and great wealth, and they're absolutely right. He will. But, of course, there's a price to pay. If you'd like to get those DVDs on They Sold Their Souls to Rock and Roll, the DVD, the Da Vinci Con, put out by our good friend Pastor Joe Simmel, and it goes into the Gnostic religion and how you see it, you know, demonstrated over and over and over again in Hollywood productions. You see them, but you don't understand the hidden message, because there is a hidden message. They always hide what they're doing in plain sight, as they do with the emblem on the back of the dollar bill, the pyramid cap by the all-seeing eye. What's it doing on the back of the dollar bill? That's the symbol of the ancient mystery religions that have been around for 5,000 years or more. If you doubt that, you ought to hear the interview with Professor Carol Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor. We have the interview where he talks about these crazy right-wingers who talked about the emblem on the back of the dollar bill and try to tell him that that's the emblem of the Illuminati. And he says, why, of course, they don't know what they're talking about. That emblem has been around 5,000 years, and he's absolutely right. It is the emblem of the ancient mystery religions. It was the emblem of the Illuminati. It is the emblem of today of Masonry and of the Rosicrucians and of all the secret societies that are dedicated to the worship of the other God. You need to get our material. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. And so we ask you, of course, to go there, to go to our section on videos, go to the section on other videos, watch Building 7 come down. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection until tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.
you're tuned to the Global Star.